This is University of Maryland news for the week of March 28th through April 1st from the news desk. I'm Ashley Westerman. This week, a team of university atmospheric science researchers have set to examining and monitoring patterns in the atmosphere in an attempt to predict what's happening to radioactive materials released by Japan's crippled Fukushima power plant. Using a tool developed by the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, the team can get pictures of movement of hazardous materials throughout the atmosphere. University atmospheric researcher Jeffrey Stare says he knows people have a difficult time understanding what radiation levels really mean. He offers this advice.
A couple of things that people can keep in mind are there is a natural background level of radiation out there all the time in the rocks and the trees and the atmosphere that comes in from outer space and that comes in from the ground and is actually inside of you. And that's a good hallmark for radiation levels. If it's below natural background and there's a lot of variability in that, then it's not going to be much of a concern. There's another level at which it becomes a concern, and that is the health-related dose. And so if it starts becoming a health-related concern, that's still much higher than the natural background level. So those are two benchmarks that people can look at to judge whether or not a particular exposure is a problem.
Stare says even though the team will be able to detect a small uptick in levels in the area, it probably won't even compare to natural background radiation. He says only if the release were bigger would they need to reconsider.
At this point, it looks like we are a very long ways away, a very long ways downwind across a very stormy North Pacific Ocean. And so by the time it gets here, a lot of it will have been washed into the Pacific. And what hasn't been washed into the Pacific will have spread out over a great distance and a great width.
Stare and his team update the projections of the air movement from Fukushima daily. You can see these projections and more information at newsdesk.umd.edu, keywords, Japanese radiation. Fellow Newsdesk intern Sean McCauley contributed to this story. A panel was held on Wednesday by university scientists, including Stare, where they discussed the current Fukushima situation as well as the future of nuclear energy. Coverage of the panel can be found at WUSA9.com, keyword, nuclear power. This week, four electrical vehicle charging stations debuted in the university's latest step to reduce its environmental impact. Located in the Union Lane garage beside the student union, these charging stations offer free parking and free charges for electric cars. There is a plan for four more charging stations to be installed on campus, and these stations and their installation are being paid for with a grant from the Department of Energy. Dean of the university's College of Information, Jennifer Priest, was one of the seven people recently inducted into the Association for Computing Machinery's Computer-Human Interaction Academy. She is noted for leading a national discussion on the popular use of social media to address national priorities such as energy sustainability and healthcare. Priest is also involved with the BioTracker Project, an initiative that encourages people to take pictures and collect data on flora and fauna worldwide. Information from BioTracker will be incorporated into the Smithsonian Institute's Encyclopedia of Life. Coming up at the University of Maryland, the first seminar in the Google and University of Maryland Cybersecurity Seminar Series will be this coming Tuesday. Widely known as one of the fathers of the Internet, Dr. Vint Cerf will speak at 5 p.m. in the Kim Engineering Building Rotunda. Cerf, who is the chief Internet evangelist at Google, will address the question, can we make the Internet safer? Since capacity is limited, guests must register online at cyber.umd.edu. Organized by the New Maryland Cybersecurity Center, MC Squared, this series will feature speakers from industry, academia, and government, addressing a range of topics related to cybersecurity. Google has committed to a 3-year sponsorship of the series, which will feature 3 seminars per semester. The second installment of the series will be on April 21st, and the third will be held sometime in June. You can hear more details about these seminars on the news desk as the events approach. Statistics say 1 in 4 women will be assaulted during their college years. And on Thursday, University of Maryland students plan to take back the night. Co-president of the university's RAIN Network and bioengineering graduate student Christina Kirchhoff explains what Take Back the Night means.
Women are usually afraid to walk alone at night. And the idea is that we're taking back the night and we're standing up as a group saying that, like, we're not afraid to go out and that we don't stand for the kind of violent acts that are happening.
The event will include resource tables and speakers such as Dr. Michelle Corbin of the University Department of Sociology and Allison Bennett of the University Health Center. Kirchhoff says they will also have an opportunity for victims of nighttime violence to share their stories.
And then we're also trying to have this anonymous reading where maybe not everybody wants to go up and stand in front of a bunch of strangers and tell their story, but that they can come early and then write their on a card, a note card that we'll have, their story, and somebody will read it for them.
Take Back the Night begins on Thursday at 5 p.m. in the Prince George's Room of the Student Union. Next Friday, several university organizations are co-sponsoring the event, Move the Movement, Japan Relief Concert. Student music groups and other entertainers will perform in an effort to raise relief funds for Japan, as well as startup funds for schools in Ethiopia. Using the power of music, Move the Movement seeks to inspire change and awareness of different causes. The concert will be from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Nimburu Amphitheater. Tickets are free, but donations are appreciated. Maryland Day is quickly approaching, and April 30th will be here before you know it. To plan your day at the university's annual open house, visit www.marylandday.umd.edu. Or, if you have an iPhone or iPad, you can download the Maryland Day app for free from iTunes. That's your University of Maryland news for the week. From the news desk, I'm Ashley Westerman. Have a great day.